This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi, hamda shakirin, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyid al-mursaleen. Sayyidina wa nabiyina wa habibina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman kathira. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim fil awwalin. Wa salli wa sallim wa zid wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyina wa habibina Muhammadin wa ahlihi wa sahbihi fil akhirin. Wa salli wa sallim wa zid wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyina Muhammadin fil mala'il a'la ya arhamar rahimin. We always begin by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to favor us with an increasement in our iman. We send to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our petition and request for his blessings upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We testify with firmness and conviction that none is worthy of worship but Allah, and that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipping slave and final messenger. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. It's a great honor, alhamdulillah, that I have an opportunity to share with you virtually these few words, inshallah. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases our taqwa, increases our output of righteousness internally so that it can show externally. Allahumma ameen. I would also like to thank those who have given me this opportunity, alhamdulillah, to share with you, even if it is but a few words, that I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes sincere. Although we are across the seas and the oceans away from each other, I come to you live from Perth, Western Australia, here. And I pre-recorded this so that it could be something that, is of good benefit to you. I know there's time differences and other considerations. I wanted to speak about freedom, and I wanted that to be something that we kind of think about a little bit. Well, you know, freedom and liberty is one of the great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's one of the great defining aspirations that humanity have. So I want you to think back to the very early creation of Adam alayhi salam. And Adam alayhi salam is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at that moment, Iblis finds within himself a pride that leads to the envious state of kibr and of arrogance towards Allah's commandment. So he rejects the command of Allah to be subjugated and to bow down to the authority of Adam. So Iblis decides that I'm going to prove that I am or would have been more worthy of the love of God, of the worship of God, than this new creation who has been created by God to be the great servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Iblis begins to tempt Adam. قَالَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمْ الْمُخْلَصِينَ I will subvert, I will deceive, I will lead away from you, O Allah, all of them from this creation of Adam, his progeny and children, and I will prove to you that they are not as sincere as you believe, as you will intend for them to be. They will reject faith in you, O Allah. Only those who will resist me are those who have a level of sincerity and connection that is seeking only you inwardly and outwardly, O Allah, those who have ikhlas. So what is Iblis set about doing? What does he whisper within the chest of Adam alayhi salam? He promises him two things. And these are the two goals that motivate all human beings thereafter. And these are the two things that Iblis seeks to subvert you, deceive you, alter you, remove you from the recognition of your fitrah, the recognition of your ultimate natural state of reality that you are obligated to Allah. So there are two attacks that the shaitan puts in tandem, one with each other against Adam. What are they? He says to Adam alayhi salam, if you were to eat from that tree, fakula minha, if you were to take from the fruit of that tree, there will be two profits, two things you will gain. What is it? You will have shajarat al-khuld wa mulkin la yabla. You will consume from the tree of eternal life. You'll live forever. On the outside, living forever, you know, that I don't have to worry about death. It's a nice concept. But could you imagine if you were 200 years old, but felt like you were 200 years old? Nobody would really want that. You know, we have the debate about euthanasia and people having the choice to take their own life when there's terminal illness. And so it's not enough just to live forever. So he says, Shajarat al-Khul, the tree of eternal life, wa mulk. But you also have dominance, mulk, power, dominion, la yabla, that will never leave you. Health, wealth, youth, strength, prosperity, everything you want and forever. فَأَكَلَ مِنْهَا Him and Hawa, Adam and Hawa, his wife, they eat from it. Which is a natural human state that you and I find ourselves when we forget our place with Allah. And that's one of the names that Allah has described us with. There are two names in the Quran that Allah describes human beings with. Insan, meaning the cognitive forgetful one. So Allah speaks about our mental state, cognitive, psychological state. We are those who are prone to forgetting our stance to Allah. We are those who forget that death will come. We are those who forget that this world, as much as we gather in it, we will depart from it with nothing. Yansa, insan. So you are the forgetful one. But you are also bashar. يُعَلِّمُهُ bashar. You are the hairless one. And that's part of the reasons, you know, with the practices of our fitrah and tahara, you remove your pubic hair, you remove the hair from under your arms, from your genital region, because that isn't like the hair on the top of your head. That hair is something that is coarser. It's a different type of hair than other parts of your body. It reminds you that you are merely an animal that walks the earth. You are like umamun amthalikum, like many of the other things that walk, but I've made you furless ones, hairless ones, meaning that you are different and distinct from other mammals that move about this earth. Cognitively different, physically, remind yourself, remove this, make this tahara so it reminds you, I'm not like these other animals that roam the earth. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticizes human beings who forget this, he says, يَأْكُلُونَ وَيَتَمَتَّعُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامُ وَالنَّارُ مَثْوًا لَهُمْ They try to eat and enjoy the fruits of this world, just consumption, eating and gorging themselves and defiling themselves sexually. But eventually, if they live that animalistic lifestyle, the hellfire will be their abode because they have not taken use of their soul. They've taken use of their desire and made their doubts greater than what will bring them to faith. فَأَكَلَ مِنْهَا Adam and Hawa, they ate from it. And that's where they lose freedom. See, freedom for us as Muslims is not that you and I are locked down. You know, I know with all of the COVID and all of the things, freedom is not that I don't have the ability to move and go and come. Freedom is very much a state of mind. I can be free even though confined. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he speaks about that great hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is found in Sahih al-Bukhari. And I want you to think of this hadith. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min." This worldly life is an imprisonment for the souls of the believers. "Wa jannatul kafir." But it is the short jannah, the short flowering garden of the unbeliever, because they have short pieces of time. Allah says in Surah Taha, وَلَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَعْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِّنْهُمْ زَهْرَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا لِنَفْتِنَهُمْ فِيهِ Don't let your eyes wander to the flowering blossom of this happiness of life that they delight in, these unbelievers. It is but a flower that blooms and then will depart. But that which you have, الباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك, that which is maintained and sustained and kept in store with you, between you and Allah, that is where true freedom and true liberty will be. So Adam makes that mistake. He misunderstood very early on that freedom. Many human beings, may Allah protect you and I from it, we fall in this mistake. May Allah correct us and bring us out of it. I fall into it, you fall into it. We forget, right? So Adam alayhi salam, he forgot that freedom is not to have whatever you want, when you want it, to do what you want. He forgot that freedom is to follow the light of Allah that gives you a freedom that you can't attain outside it. فَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. Allah says, the one who turns away from my reminder, from the remembrance, from that which will keep them whole, from that which will keep them pure, from that which seems inconvenient and difficult, but that which will give greater liberty when it really matters. فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. They will be the one who have a depressive life, a difficult life. وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. Because on the day of judgment, they will come blind to the reality of what they should have been clear-sighted about. That the next life, هِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ, is the one of an eternal animation of happiness and enjoyment and contentment. Whenever a human being is referred to as a slave, it is dehumanizing. It's debasing. It is a great insult that, you know, somebody is abd. It is the usurpation, the taking of all of your power, your autonomy, your authority, your ability to choose away from you. And this is one of the things Allah gave humanity, the ability to choose, that which the angels don't have. لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا. We only know what you have taught us. We only لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم. In Surah Al-Tahrim, they cannot disobey a command given to them by Allah. But you and I have been given a choice. It's one of the issues of وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. I've elevated mankind with a nobility and honor for them to have the choice to come and serve me. See, the issue about freedom is not that I can choose to do what I want. Enslavement is that when a person's rights are taken from them by another. When somebody tells you when to eat, what to wear, how to wear, and go and come, and what job and what you can and can't do, where to live, how long you live, your life is forfeit, your decisions are in their hand. It is the most dehumanizing and debasing sense of feeling, but that is the definition of you and I as a Muslim as it relates to Allah, not to other human beings. And the Sahaba, they would say, when they would stand in front of kings, we were sent to convert and bring people from their servitude to other man to their servitude to the Lord of all men. Everybody's a slave of something. Some people just don't know that they're slaves. Some people don't know they're slaves to a system. Some people don't know that they're slaves to their debts. Some people have purposefully invested themselves in making themselves a slave by buying what they can't afford, by entering into a usurious riba system. They have put themselves under subjugation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says to us, Wallahu al-ghani, He is the one without need. Your prayers are of no consequence to Allah. They don't elevate Allah. They don't humble Allah. If you pray more, it doesn't increase Allah's magnificence. If you pray, if you ignore your prayer, it doesn't demean or debase or dishonor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلِنَفْسِي مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِي. The one who does good, it's for yourself. It's for your own good. When your rights are taken from you by another created being, by another human being, it's the most humiliating thing. But the greatest title that you and I have is Abdullah, the one who chose to make God their master. فَهُوَ الرَّبْ, the Lord. وَأَنَا الْعَبْد, the slave. And therefore that recognition is the greatest liberty and freedom that a human being can attain in this worldly life, during this worldly life, because it sets you as being ready for the enslavement to Allah in this life, makes you ready for the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you will inherit. يُورِثُ نُورِثُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا مَنْ كَانَ تَقِيَّ. I give it as an inheritance deserved to those who have a sense of righteous conduct and piety in their belief internally and externally. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, hours before his death, he heard people making praise of him, and he said, don't overly praise me the way the Jews and Christians praise their prophets, anbiya'ahum, because look where it led the Christians to deifying Isa alayhi salam. Walakin qulu abdullah, when you describe me, say abdullah, the slave of God, the worshipping slave of God, the one who was Muslim, submitted. See, there's some people in the world today, they want to be Muslim without submission. They want to be Muslim without letting God lead. They want to be Muslim without letting Allah be the one who decides. But your enslavement to Allah is a testimony that you are prepared to forego moments of joy, moments of desires fulfilled, moments of lusts having been consumed, because you have a greater aim in the next life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He describes وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ, those who are worshippers of the Rahman. Notice عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ, the worshippers of Ar-Rahman. Why Ar-Rahman? Because you don't want to be slave of the one who is going to punish you. You want to be a slave of the one whose greatest quality, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ, is that He has enjoined upon Himself mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is your Lord, the Lord of mercy, Ar-Rahman. It is the one quality, the one name and attribute of Allah that is used unilaterally other than the title, the name Allah. In every other place in the Quran, it's always combinations. Al-Hayyul Qayyum, Malik al-Mulki, Dhul Jalali wal-Ikram, Al-Khabir al-Latif, Al-Aliyyul Azim. But on its own, Ar-Rahman, the merciful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's His greatest quality that He seeks for us to aspire towards Him through. You being a Muslim, meaning you are a submitter. To attain that peace in the next life and peace and stability in this life, I must submit what I wear, when I wear it, how I wear it, who can see me with it on and who can't. What I eat, when I can't eat. Even how we use, you know, the mundane issues such as relieving ourselves and going to the bathroom is scripted by the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore that higher sense of freedom, that ability to find freedom even in lockdown, that ability to be able to submit to the orders of Allah, to submit to the authority that He has ordered upon us, to submit to the authority of those who govern amongst us in that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who don't force us to do that which is against our faith, to submit and wholeheartedly be a part of that process, is a great way of honoring that relationship of being servants of Allah, slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi Muhammadin sallallahu alaihi wasallam an-nabiyyu wa rasuluhu. I should say this in the morning and in the night, three times in the morning, three times in the evening before you sleep and when you wake up. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi Muhammadin nabiyyan wa rasula. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena Muhammadin nabiyyan wa rasula sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm content with Allah as my Lord. I don't care what you say, what you hate about me and my faith and Allah and Muhammad. I'm content with whatever Allah has given me of good. I'm content with whatever difficulty and hardship Allah has given me. I'm content with the illnesses I have, the debts that I own, the difficulties my family is in, the loss of job that I'm in, the circumstance. I'm content. I will never waver from love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is always Ar-Rahman even when things are difficult. And they could be more difficult without His mercy. Wabil Islam, I'm content with Islam. I'm content that I don't eat pork. I'm content that I don't commit zina. I'm content that I'll never own a huge home, because I'm going to attain it through riba and usury that is a detriment to the rest of society. I'm content that I'm not going to sell myself for this dunya and forget my akhirah. I'm content that I'm going to invest in my home, in my family, in my wife, in my children, in my husband. I'm content that I'm going to build rather than destroy. I'm content to be quiet if I have nothing good to say. I'm content to be a person who may be hurt, but will not be hurting to others. I would rather be hurt than to hurt somebody else with oppression. Wabil Islam, I'm content to submit to the order of Allah, sami'na wa ata'na, that when I hear, I obey. I'm content to struggle against the desires that I have that are animalistic in nature and pull me away from the path of God. Wabil Islam deena wa bi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam nabi wa rasula. And I'm content to find freedom in Muhammad being my guiding light, the sunnah that I seek to follow, the path that I put my foot in following his tradition sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I pray that through this we can come to understand that irrespective of any ism, any type of political system, communism, capitalism, whatever system we find, Islam has always thrived, because we're able as Muslims to come inward towards our relationship with Allah, and we find that Islam is what gives us liberty. Wallahi, don't fear for our deen, don't fear for Islam, fear for us as Muslims. Fear whether we will remain firm upon the truth, because we live in times today, as the Prophet described, it's like holding on to a burning brand of coal. It's difficult to remain firm upon faith. But remember that story of Adam. That even when Adam made that mistake, could you imagine, subhanAllah, Adam is in Jannah. Adam is with the angels. Adam has all of the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet he commits this sin. Even Musa alayhi salam, in the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, Musa is, you know, angered when he met Adam. He says to Adam in Jannah, he says, how could you eat from the tree? And Adam says, this is something that I was put into, something that was a test that I failed. It's something that, how can you blame me for something that I did not plan on initially? It was a circumstance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written upon me that I would be tested in this way. But the rejoicing is in how Adam returns to Allah. قَالَ رَبَّنَا. See, that's the secret of success. That's the true freedom. That there's never a barrier between you and Allah. There's never anything that holds you back from coming back to Allah. There's nothing to stop you from whatever danger you found and you endangered your soul with, from ever returning back to Allah. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. Return to your Lord. وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. And find your submission. Give yourself and your freedom over to Allah. Let Allah decide that which is important. Who I marry, who I don't marry. What I eat, what I don't eat. How I pray and when I pray. Make the decisions that are empowerful in your life, led by the direction of the Sharia and the path of Allah, and that which is in harmony and peace with the societies that we live in. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you, my dear brothers and sisters in the Philippines, that Allah makes this virtual gathering a gathering of khair. I know, alhamdulillah, you've been blessed with wonderful contributors, Dr. Muhammad Salah, and our brother Mufti Mink, our dear brother, our inviter, Jazallah Khair, coordinator, our brother Wa'il Ibrahim, all of the others, mashallah, who are coming in together, your local ustaz and ulama, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it one of harmony and collaboration. And I pray that Allah allows us the opportunity to visit with each other and to benefit with each other. Wa salli allahumma wa sallim wa zid wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman kathira. Your brother Yahya Ibrahim, humbly and respectfully from Perth, Western Australia. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.